Kendall Rawls with the Rawls Group, and I'm here to welcome you to our discussion. Consider us your tribe of sorts, where we chat about all things related pretty much to anything. As your tribe, we provide five different perspectives from our unique view of the world. We are pioneers, trailblazers, go-getters, power professionals, marvelous moms, friends, dog lovers, and so much more. Our discussions span from leadership, business, relationships, and personal growth, and everything in between. Here we go.
Well, thanks everybody for having me here again for another episode. Thank you, Kendall, for putting this together. I wanted to share a topic today that is quite relevant here in the last couple of weeks. For complete transparency's sake, Kendall Rawls with the Rawls Group has been the longest consulting client I have held, and I believe it's 7 years, Kendall. So over the course of 7 years, we have worked together on a lot of great projects and strategy, but I recently had to break up with her as a client. I had this amazing offer to go full-time as a director of marketing and business development with a really great firm, a firm that Kendall's familiar with, and she can agree that they are a really great firm. And it was an opportunity that was just, I was called to take it, but I felt bad because I had to have a tough conversation with my client and break up with her. And it's tough because in the world that we live in, the group of us here, we're in the relationship business. That is what we do. So for me, it was a tough conversation because I built this amazing relationship, not only with Kendall, but with a fantastic organization. And I found myself literally, I don't think I had given myself enough space to recognize that this was a form of a breakup. It's a change in a relationship or a change in a dynamic. So I hadn't given myself enough space to understand how that was going to impact me. And therefore, of course, I sure as heck did not give Kendall enough space to understand how it was going to impact her. Good news is we're great friends. So she's still a little butthurt with me, but I think she's going to get over it because we get along so well. We're good yin and yang. But it's a dynamic that I think we all face in our work lives, whether we're switching teams, whether we're switching leaders or managers, whether we're taking on a position of power and we're maybe leaving some of our coworkers behind. And the same thing can happen at home if we're changing relationships or dynamic change. And it's this emotion that kind of comes in to say, wow, that doesn't feel really good, but I still feel really good about my decision. So it's a tough dynamic, especially I think for women to kind of embrace and get over. It's like you feel selfish. You naturally feel selfish because this is a really good thing for me and I'm really excited and it feels good, but you feel so bad on the other side of it. And it's hard to kind of navigate those waters. So I want to kind of share that with this group today because I'm sure all of these lovely ladies can chime in and share some perspective. I hope we've got a lot of great coaches with us today. And then also for people that are listening and watching the video, I guarantee you've gone through this at least once. So please chime in and share those comments with us too. Brigida.
Oh, Amy, Jeannie. Amy. I love this topic. Recently, I have a few different clients that are absolutely shifting out of their full-time positions that they've been in for 24 years. And they went on, you know, a roller coaster. And, you know, I talked to them and I said, you know, think about it. You've done the same thing for the past 24 years. And I'm sure Cindy's got a lot to share on this one. I said, it is, you know, it is a whole new change. You're literally, one of them was literally mourning, you know, like, okay, now what do I do with myself? Like, when do I brush my teeth? And I know that may sound silly to some of you. However, it was that, you know, and getting through to that next level of where she really wanted to go, but that morning and allowing that to happen, allowing it to happen. You know, what's wrong with me? I have all this time now and I don't know what to do. And it is, it's a little bit of a mourning process. It's that breakup with your career and allow that flexibility and those emotions to be vulnerable and shift to where you want to go and stay focused.
Yeah, I think, Judy, I think that you hit it on the head and that you kind of lose your identity. You get so used to this pattern of behavior or this the relationship. It's an identity that has kind of framed who you are. It doesn't change who we are as an individual, but the day-to-day changes. The relationship does change. We change. So I think, it's a stripping of an identity that we've created for ourselves. It's really tough.
Yeah, my experience with that, Amy, too, and Jeannie, was 33 and a half years with the same company. And I was ready to leave, and it was a good decision. And I had a lot of good coaching around it on moving through that and getting to the point where I could leave and be in my integrity when I was leaving, so that I knew that everything was taken care of after I was gone. And I really didn't allow myself the time to grieve that ending. You know, the whole relationship. These were people I had spent decades with. My marriages didn't last that long. And, you know, it took maybe 6 months after before it hit me. And I went through this whole slump and kind of went into the cave for about a month or so, you know, and I recognized that I had not allowed myself to grieve the ending of that relationship. And once I was able to process that and go through that, I was able to move forward again. But if anyone had told me beforehand that that was going to happen, I was like, no, I'm so excited about leaving. Oh my God, I can't wait to be out of here. And I can't wait for the next new thing. And that was all wonderful and good. And at the same time, there was a process that you naturally go through. And some of the friends that I worked with, I'm still friends with, and I still occasionally see, but not in the way, you know, day to day that it was then.
You know, I cannot relate to it. Perhaps if I look back, there might be a time where I could relate to it, but it's not present. And to tap into the Kubler-Ross model of the five stages of grief, right? You kind of cycle through, you go from avoiding or denying into anger and frustration, to then bargaining and struggling, to then find yourself in a depressive state, in a state of overwhelm. Oh my gosh, I mean, there's so many opportunities. What am I going to do now? To then get to the last stage, and that's accepting what is. And now that I'm accepting it, oh, wow, what can I do, right? But we cannot, as Tony Robbins says, we cannot skip steps. We cannot just kind of skip over those five stages and get to acceptance.
Yeah, it's a journey. I was going to say something else, but what you just said just hit me a couple weeks ago. I was thinking about where I want to be. Like, I'm here and I wanted to be somewhere else in my age. And I began to think about the thought of the journey and that I just haven't gotten there yet. And it would annoy me when people would say, you're just not there yet. But then I began to think about, if you're walking down a path or you're driving in a car, there currently is no technology out there right now, like a teleport, which I really wish there was for you to be there. Like, it literally is a journey. And it's the thought process of, you're not what you want. You're not ready for yet. Cause there's been some times in my life where I've thought, man, I just wish I had been here 5 years ago, but I wasn't ready for it yet. And so that whole skipping over thought of what made me think about what emotions you're moving through, however a relationship is transitioning, it is something you have to go through. You can't go over it or around it. Sometimes you have to go through it in order for you to get the impact of it and be on the path that you're meant to be. The other thing that, in listening to you guys, that I thought, and being the one that I was broken up with, and I've gone through the five stages of grief, and I've tried to skip a few, and yes, I've done some bargaining and I've done all the different things, but it's acknowledging in any relationship, in any work relationship, and a friendship and a partnership, whatever, is that as hard as it is, people grow and change, and we're all on different paths. And as much as I want for Amy and I to dominate the world with her to be 100% with the Rawls group, that's not her path. And doesn't mean that our futures are now separate. We can still, it's going back to what a previous episode we talked about. We're now creative problem solving, and we're just going to create a different way of getting there. And I've had a few friend relationships that the more that I'm understanding who I am and I'm growing and creating boundaries, friends, relationships change. And some people are okay with that and some people aren't okay with that. And it's having to let go of and allowing yourself to fly, because otherwise, if you're holding yourself back, you're only hurting yourself.
Yeah, I think one of the ironies of the situation of the Kendall and Amy breakup was the fact that we've worked together for 7 years, but we literally met each other for the first time in person in September of this year. And I was not looking for full-time work. I wasn't out, you know, accepting offer, you know, taking offers and interviewing and all of this. And her and I were together, and I will never forget it, Kendall. I think it might have been at the Heat show. And you looked right at me and you're like, you better not leave me. And I said to her, I said, I have no intentions. I'm not going anywhere. I didn't know I was going to be going anywhere. Sometimes things just happen. But the interesting dynamic here was, I think we, for as long as Kendall and I have worked together, and the first time meeting each other, and then not even 2 months later, all of a sudden I'm breaking up with the Rawls group. I think that was part of the journey that both her and I had to go through, because we recognize that it's a truly authentic relationship. It's not just a client and a vendor or partner relationship. We realize that we truly get along so well. It is an authentic relationship, and we don't need this contractual binding agreement for us to continue that going forward. That's what I'm taking from it. I don't want to speak for Kendall, but I don't need to send an invoice and get paid to actually like Kendall Rawls. I genuinely love who she is as a person and think she's amazing. And I said to her, I'm like, I don't let a whole lot of people into my family fold. And we were out drinking with my sister for her birthday when we were in Newport at a Women in Energy conference. So I said to Kendall, I said, you're stuck with me for life, girl. There's no getting rid of me. I'm your stalker now. You're part of my family.
That is awesome. Well, clearly, and because of that, that's why we're here together as well, right? I mean, what a great group of women that some have met, some have never met, some only met on Zoom. And it might stay that way. But I think there's a really good message in what you just said, Amy, and that is when we build these relationships, the contractual part, the transactional part, the money giving or money earning part becomes irrelevant. It's a side product, but it becomes irrelevant because relationships at the end of the day are so much stronger and so much deeper.
And it goes back to what you said in the last episode too, Brigida, something that you talk a lot about is that authenticity piece. You know, it's really having authentic relationships. And I'm a big believer in the work that we do, whether you're a consultant or you're a coach, an educator, a servant leader, you have to be authentic in those relationships. And if you're not, then you don't get this powerful group like we have here.
Yeah. And I have to tell you that I do for myself, and I can only speak for myself, I do take personal inventory. And I will list down people that I love. This is not personal. However, they're not growing at the leaps and bounds and investing in themselves and in their personal and professional development that I have to say, you know, I love you. However, I'm going here. This is my journey. And I've got to move this way. And I will tell you, some people were like, okay, fine, and haven't spoken to me again. And that's okay. However, when I took that personal inventory, it really cleared up a lot of space for growth. And it cleared that space for collaboration with women like you, collaboration with other women that I connect with to move forward and build something to serve other women, to make a difference in the world, to make a bigger impact, to just help others. I love community.
Honestly, I don't know who doesn't like community.
I don't either.
Right? There might be some people that would like to have it more at an arm's length, but at the end of the day, we're humans and we are hardwired for that human connection. It might look different for each and every one, but at the end, we're hardwired for human connection. And I think I could speak for all of us, especially now in this day and age after pandemic, we're still deprived of that human connection. And that's where we have an opportunity to build these long-lasting relationships. And maybe that's even harder going through the five stages of grief and grieving that, losing that relationship. But as you just said, Amy, you're really not losing it. You actually gained it.
Yeah, I actually, and this is coming from a girl. This is another episode for another day. I have a history of being in abusive relationships by product of the childhood that I had, and it's been many years of therapy. So I'm a very healthy person when it comes to relationship now, I think. But yes, I think that actually what this has done for me and Kendall, I believe, from my perspective, again, I can't speak for Kendall, but I think it's elevating us to a different plane and a higher plane of relationship, a deeper relationship where I think there's going to be a couple of things that come out of it. I think Kendall is going to grow from it because I'm not as accessible from a coworker perspective. I think that the Rawls group will grow from it because it's going to force them to identify ways that they can leverage different resources where maybe it's more cost effective for them. But then I think, you know, selfishly from a friendship perspective, I think Kendall and I are going to grow because of this what we're doing here. And we have so many similarities in terms of what we have passions for or, you know, the things that we'll commiserate on. So I think it's going to create more of a deeper relationship from a friendship perspective, because we don't have that boundary between us that relates to work. So I would say, I know, Kendall, I don't know where we are in time, but I think one of the things, I know we always try to leave these sessions with, you know, something for everybody to take away. I think one thing I would say is breakups are hard, and the healthier we get as individuals, and if you listened to or watched our last episode, as we build our confidence and find our power and really own who we are and build ourselves as our own leaders of our own little realm, I like to call it, what you find is exactly what Jeannie was just saying, is you realize that you're growing in health, and some relationships might fall by the wayside, and that is okay. You get this position of power where you determine who you want to surround yourself and who you want to be surrounded by. And that's what helps us build our confidence. It helps build our networks. It helps build everything about who we are. So I think I would say, you know, leaving us on this note here is breakups are okay. And on the other side of them can come bigger and brighter and better things. And I'm going to put Kendall on the spot because I'm hoping that she's going to agree with me now that she's not crying anymore. I haven't had to send her any tissues in a couple of weeks, so I think she's okay.
Yeah, and I think it's there's so many things that we're living through transition in. And transitions are beautiful. I mean, think about spring and fall. Those are transitional seasons. I am a Floridian. And so when I moved to New York and I lived there about 5 years, and it was always amazing to me that even though all of those trees and the flowers looked like there was no life in them whatsoever through the winter time, that every year, I mean, for 5 years I lived there. I mean, every year I would think there is never coming out again. We're never going to see the sun again. But every year there were tulips. These little green buds came out of those super dead trees, and their transition creates so much opportunity. And going back to our previous episode again, just in terms of creative problem solving and looking at a transition as opportunity, probably one to get beyond the grief and giving yourself some space, that there is so much life and opportunity on the other side of it. Brigida, I'll pass it on to you.
I think as a parting words here, what comes up for me, that is what I said earlier, it's not about the money. It's really never about the money. The real wealth is the healthy relationships. And when we can transition just from, you know, transactional relationships to real deep relationships, our life becomes a lot more meaningful. Cindy.
Yeah, and I agree with you completely on that, Brigida. And the beautiful visual that I have is of the cocoon, the caterpillar in the cocoon, and the transformation that takes place when it breaks through and becomes that beautiful butterfly. And so I see that happening with the relationship here and the relationships that we can bring to the world.
You know, I was listening to all of you and talking about, you know, the pandemic and the connecting and how you had met I'm going to end with the story, and it may make you cry. It may not make you cry. And the story was, last night I was at the airport, and we live in a world that people are a little fearful right now. Not everyone, but some people are. And there was a young boy, probably 4 years old, his two sisters and his mom and dad. And the little boy was staring at me. I mean, like, literally, I could feel his eyes staring at me. And I thought, okay, do I have ketchup on my face? I was eating a cheeseburger. So I'm kind of doing this, because he was really staring at me. And finally, the father kind of pushed him over to come talk to me. And I thought, that's odd, but okay. So I was kind of watching him come over, and he came over and he said, real quietly, hi. And then he turned around and ran. I said, okay, that's odd. And then the mom came around the other side to me and said, you look like his Nana. You look like my husband's mother. You look like his Nana. And due to the pandemic, they haven't been able to see her. And they've only seen her on Zoom. And he thought you were her. And he was really excited and wanted to come over and give you a hug. And the husband asked me if it was, wait for it. Asked me if it was okay if the little boy gave me a hug. And, you know, we live in a time where people are fearful. I was not. I was thrilled. I was honored. And I made the little boy's day, because he hasn't been able to see her. And I brought the parents to tears, and the sisters were, you know, only a little bit older, and they didn't quite get it because they were old enough to know that's not Nana. However, I looked like her, especially, you know, because I had a mask on. And I said to them, is it okay if I lower the mask? And because, you know, I asked those. And having that non-connection with not only us building these relationships, but with small children, you know, you forget till something like that happens. And I was just, needless to say, I was all stuffed up the whole plane ride home, okay? That's what I have. Be open to a hug from a little boy.
Okay, you have us all in tears. Thanks, Jeannie. What a great story.
We appreciate you listening in. Do you have something you would like to chat about with us or maybe chime in on? Contact Amy, Brigida, Jeannie, Cindy, or Kendall at the email addresses listed on the screen, or submit a topic you would like for us to discuss by emailing Kendall Rawls at kendall@rawlsgroup.com. We would love your feedback. Thank you to our 5 excellent coaches for sharing insight and perspectives and showing the power of vulnerability. Your Tribe is produced by the Rawls Group Business Succession Planners.